Hello, everyone. This is Steve Baker, the Pragmatic Constitutionalist. Before we get started with today's podcast, I do want to get all of the commercial announcements out of the way just as quickly as possible. Today's podcast is obviously brought to you by the New York Cigar Inn. Not really. I just happen to own the hat and I'm wearing that today. But I do want to let you know where we are found on all of the interwebs. First and foremost, all of our content originates from our locals community, which is found at thepragmaticconstitutionalist.locals.com. Once again, thepragmaticconstitutionalist.locals.com. Or you can go to the App Store, download the app there, and download the Locals app. And then you can find us by entering at TPC for USA, the symbol at TPC for USA. From that point, most everything else then ends up either on Facebook, Twitter, MeWe, Parler, Gab. All of our video content is now on Rumble. We have completely disassociated with YouTube. And then, of course, anywhere that you like to listen to podcasts, if you're listening to this in audio form, and that's what your preference is, you can find us on any of the major podcast platforms. So with that out of the way, don't forget, wherever you're listening to this or wherever you're watching this, please go to the follow, subscribe, like buttons and do all of that. That helps us, as you know, and as you hear from everybody else that does this with all the algorithms and that sort of thing. So please subscribe, please like, please follow, and we hope to see you at all or some of those places. All right, let's dive into this. I should preface this podcast by first saying that this is the result of a couple of very long days worth of research and then another day of writing out my thoughts and the script of what I'm going to be covering here. And the title of this is, Has John Sullivan, Key January 6th Figure, Disappeared? So in this podcast, I'm not going to go into a detailed review or background on John Sullivan. Most of you remember that Sullivan was one of the first and main characters to emerge from January 6th. He not only captured and released the first video of Ashley Babbitt being shot and killed, but was also interviewed that very evening by CNN's Anderson Cooper. He was an instant celebrity of sorts, being written about and covered in every imaginable way by media sources from both the left and the right of the political spectrum. He has been accused of being both a BLM activist and an Antifa operative, both of those organizations denying and distancing themselves from him. Publicly, though, Sullivan himself has first claimed association with those groups, then denied it, then again personally claimed leadership in those organizations. Fact checkers have and continue to deny that Sullivan has any relationship with either BLM or Antifa, though only 2 weeks after January 6th, I personally interviewed his brother, James Sullivan, who adamantly contended that John had close ties with Antifa and even led a contingent of their members to the Capitol that day, after handing out boxes of Trump hats in the Black Lives Matter Square there in D.C. before they made their way to the Capitol building. Now, Sullivan claims that his only reason for being in D.C. on January 6th was as a photojournalist. It's been reported, as a result of that, that he was paid up to $90,000 for his videos by various news outlets, including CNN and NBC. But subsequent to his arrest, that money was then seized by the Justice Department. He was arrested on or about January 15th in Utah, his home state, by federal authorities. He was indicted on 8 charges and was then surprisingly released on his own recognizance without requirement of posting bail. He was even given a long laundry list of restrictions related to use of electronic devices and social media and was prohibited from being active in his own social justice organization, which is called Insurgents USA. He has subsequently faced legal hearings based on his alleged violation of those orders, but has not been jailed for those violations and remains, we think, still in home detention with some limited exceptions. I don't think I have to remind anyone that John Sullivan, at the very least, participated in far more mayhem provocative incitement, breaking through police lines, and even property damage than did many of those currently being held in the D.C. Detention Center without bail for 15 months or longer, often in solitary confinement, denied basic hygiene, served inedible food, poorly treated and even beaten by security guards, and not even allowed visitation by their own family members. Meanwhile, Sullivan remains in the comfort of his own home. While there are many other fascinating details about the 27-year-old's life and family, including his efforts to qualify for the U.S. Olympic team as a speed skater, his father's background as a retired Army lieutenant colonel, their family's membership in the Mormon Church, and the fact that he and his three younger brothers are all black and adopted by white parents. Those details are well accounted for by multiple mainstream and alternative media sources and easily retrievable if you desire by a simple Google search, including all of his videos from that day. So the point of this podcast centers solely around the title question. What happened to John Sullivan? Where is he now? What is he doing? Why a year and a half since his arrest have there been no news or updates regarding his legal situation? How can it be that one of the leading January 6th celebrities has seemingly disappeared from the interest of both media and the Department of Justice? Why has he not been interviewed by the House January 6th Select Committee when his own brother claimed that he may have led as many as 226 Antifa into the Capitol melee, even as a prime organizer of that event? A claim that was repeated by Rudy Giuliani, for which Rudy was roundly ridiculed by the media and Department of Justice officials. And, of course, making any such claim now will earn you or me a fact-checker strike or suspension on major social media platforms, as all those sources adamantly contend those are nothing more than just right-wing conspiracy theories. Because, A, Sullivan has himself denied affiliation with Antifa, and B, federal authorities have not identified him as having those associations. With only a little bit of digging, here's what I've learned, and let's begin with the question about his current legal situation. In May of 2021, Sullivan entered not guilty pleas to all eight charges during a video hearing with the judge in D.C. His attorney had, only a week before that hearing, filed a motion asking the court to reverse the government's seizure of the $90,000, arguing that Sullivan needed those funds to pay his rent and that they were not the proceeds of criminal activity. The DOJ said the value of Sullivan's footage was, and this is a quote, substantially the result of his proximity as a frontline participant in the storming of the Capitol, including in the aggressive onslaught on the speaker's lobby doors that culminated in the shooting. Prosecutors also produced evidence that Sullivan had said, and I quote, "I brought my megaphone to instigate shit. I was like, guys, we're going inside. We're fucking shit up. I'm going to make these Trump supporters fuck all this shit up." After a series of several motions filed by Sullivan's attorney, including attempts to suppress statements Sullivan had made during an FBI interview regarding having a knife he offered to use to open the House chamber doors, in late November of 2021, there was a superseding indictment concerning all eight charges, which also included acknowledgement of the government's right to seize that $90,000. Then, on December 6th of last year, the court officially denied the request for the release of those funds. At this point, I should probably mention another intriguing situation regarding my own discovery of these legal filings. First of all, there's been absolutely no media coverage of these legal proceedings, at least any that I can find. Essentially, all media coverage of Sullivan ceased by mid-2021. The only thing found is the occasional fact-checker denial of his relationship with Antifa, but even that stops by mid-2021. On the anniversary of that big day, January 6th of 2022, Salt Lake City news affiliates, ABC4, CBS, KUTV2, and at least one other local outlet there in Utah, were the only media sources to offer an update on Sullivan on the anniversary of January 6th. Absolutely no media sources can be found to have revisited the Sullivan story, even on that one-year anniversary. Sullivan did grant KUTV an interview for the retrospective in which he claimed, and this is a quote from Sullivan, "Whatever I did say was to protect myself from the dangers around me. I'm surrounded by white supremacists, terrorists, and racists," Sullivan said. "I gave prosecutors all the ammunition they need to, like, go after and prosecute these people, which is what I wanted to do, hold these people accountable for their actions." Again, there is seemingly no mention of Sullivan by mainstream media, left or right, since mid-2021. More interestingly, even the Department of Justice's own website, justice.gov, has provided no updates on the Sullivan case since August 2nd of 2021. The last indictment, dated May 21st, 2021, is there, but nothing subsequent, despite the fact there have been many other updates, hearings, motions, and superseding indictments since that date, including the one I previously mentioned from December 6th. The last update on justice.gov reads, and I quote, "Defendant remains on personal recognizance bond and has status conference set for July 29th, 2021 at 1 p.m. That's it. So, without media updates or anything subsequent to July 29th of 2021, where am I finding the additional information and updates to this case? Those are only coming from the Free Law Project, a 501c3 nonprofit organization which has a website at courtlistener.com, which is apparently the only free source tracking and posting the details of Sullivan's case. According to Court Listener, Sullivan now has a jury trial date set, with jury selection not beginning until May 15th of 2023. Other findings I've discovered at Court Listener is that Sullivan is allowed to leave home for work. He has a job provided by his own father. He continued to press for release of the seized funds, again denied. There are motions to dismiss a certain of his charges, all denied. And then various detailed long discovery and continuance requests by defense counsel, many of which I spent a lot of time reading. So, no media coverage or updates, no updates from the DOJ itself, and a trial not scheduled for at least another 10 months, assuming no further continuances. I have questions. One of those questions goes back to a previous incident in which Sullivan was not just involved, but also the protest organizer. Back on June 29th of 2020, Sullivan led his first event. This event was a counter-protest to a Back the Blue protest, which involved a number of vehicles driving around the Provo, Utah police station. Sullivan and others organized a counter-protest blocking those vehicles. According to news reports, during the protest, shots were fired into a vehicle and one driver was injured. One man was charged with attempted murder, while Sullivan was himself arrested and charged with rioting, making threats of violence, and criminal mischief. According to the Deseret News, the police affidavit states, "The protests traveled on the roadways, blocking motorists who have the right-of-way. John Sullivan blocked vehicles from freely moving lawfully. During the course of the protest, two handguns were brandished and two shots fired toward a motorist traveling to Home Depot. Vehicles were damaged by protesters as well as by John Sullivan." I can find no additional information about that case. Only that he was arrested, charged with two misdemeanors, and then released on a $7,500 bond. Then, poof, it all goes away. Were the charges dropped? Was this another of those 2020 catch-and-release programs during the George Floyd riots? In fact, an actual background check reveals that he has no criminal record. Even more telling, in several of his January 6th related filings, the prosecutors and the defense also list him as having no prior criminal record. Based on how local and state courts were overwhelmed by all of those riot arrests and then, of course, the burden of dealing with cases during the COVID lockdowns, it wouldn't surprise me to discover those charges were just dismissed. I've actually reached out directly to John Sullivan as well as to his brother James for comment about these incidences, but neither have responded as of the recording of this podcast. Nevertheless, is John Sullivan specially connected to someone? I mean, other than his retired military officer father? How, in fact, did the Provo protest charges disappear with no record whatsoever of their disposition? Interestingly, in addition to positioning himself as having some association with both BLM and Antifa before denying both, there was once an appearance he made with some Proud Boys, one which PolitiFact says was organized by Sullivan himself, where he even made a speech saying something to the effect that he was there wanting to understand them. This and other of his online activities and statements led members of left-wing activist groups to suspect him of being a double agent, even working for law enforcement. In fact, the well-known labor activist Talia Jane said that Sullivan is, and I quote, reviled throughout the activist space. As previously mentioned, in what seems to be defiance of his orders to stay off social media, Sullivan has again recently began to post videos to a YouTube account under his alias, Jaden X. Regarding a previous effort by Sullivan to get around those court orders, prosecutors claimed in a detention memo, and this is a quote from that memo, "The defendant has not merely run afoul of release conditions in this case, he has brazenly flouted them, in some cases flouting multiple conditions at once. Several violations apparently come on the heels of detailed instructions to the contrary by his supervision officer. The defendant's actions demonstrate an unwillingness to grapple with the seriousness of his charges and a contempt for the court and its proceedings." Two of these new uploads to YouTube are actually older videos from speeches he made in 2020, one from an August 28th event in D.C. at Black Lives Matter Square, where he himself has titled the new video, or the old video rather, and I quote, "BLM activist John Sullivan said he's going to rip Trump out of office." There it is. Once again, newly labeling himself a BLM activist in a video he just recently uploaded on June 19th of this year, just 3 or 4 weeks ago. In another of these YouTube uploads from a September 5th, 2020 event in Portland, he has titled that video, and I quote, "John Sullivan leads Antifa and BLM, abolish the police, Portland, Oregon." Now, that video was also uploaded and titled last month on June 19th of this year. By the dates of the uploads, he apparently became active on YouTube again about 4 months ago. None of his previous video postings from prior to January 6th or even shortly thereafter are there, including one in which he was demonstrating and offering for sale Antifa black bloc attire, helmets, body armor, and other items. That video has been reposted by someone else. To me, this new activity seems to be a violation of his court orders. Nevertheless, his following is greatly diminished as the total number of views range from just as few as 2 on one video to another that has as many as 489 at the recording of this podcast. Sullivan has also established Patreon and Buy Me a Coffee accounts under the name of Jaden X. This, too, seems to be an effort to sidestep court orders, specifically barring him from working for or earning income from his organization, Insurgents USA. It seems odd that he has been given such latitude with his social media use, particularly after that first rebuke from the prosecution. Even then, he has not been penalized by the court. He has not had his personal recognizance bond revoked. Part of the ongoing court order is that all his electronic devices are to be regularly monitored by DOJ or law enforcement officials. So I find it hard to believe that they're not aware, after 4 months, that he is again active on YouTube and raising money via his Jaden X alias. Finally, it seems somewhat perplexing that Sullivan's trial date is now scheduled a full 2.5 years after his arrest. Look, delays and continuances are not unusual, but the government seems much more interested in fast-tracking the trials of certain Oath Keepers and Proud Boys who participated in no violence or engaged in no acts of provocation as soon after the Select Committee hearings as possible. Whereas John Sullivan openly declared himself, and I quote, "I brought my megaphone to instigate shit. I was like, guys, we're going inside. We're fucking shit up. I'm going to make these Trump supporters fuck all this shit up." He also said, "There are so many people. Let's go. This shit is ours. Fuck yeah." And that's what I'm saying. Break that shit. And we got to get this shit burned. And let's burn this shit down. All of this recorded on video. As to the charge of property damage, he's also on video saying, "I broke it. My bad. My apologies." Well, they already broke a window, so, you know, I didn't know I hit it that hard. No one got that on camera. Again, why is the media ignoring John Sullivan's case? Why did the DOJ's own website stop updating on his case in July of last year? How was one young man, in the space of only 6 months, present at 2 different shootings in the course of his activities as a provocateur of violent protests? Why is he living at home while others far less engaged in the melee of January 6th are still rotting in the D.C. gulag? Why is the court not penalizing Sullivan for violation of their orders against his social media presence? And why isn't the House Select Committee even remotely interested in investigating this person who only last month labeled himself as a BLM activist and someone who leads Antifa and BLM? You know what? Fact check that, PolitiFact and USA Today. And while you're at it, answer my questions. You know, I can't help but be suspicious that this case has been pushed so far into the future, you know, after the media circuses surrounding this fall's upcoming Oath Keeper and Proud Boys trials, after they all die down, and then after the government obviously gets its pint of blood, so that the charges against John Sullivan can be dismissed and forgotten. Okay, that's enough for now. All the pertinent links to everything that I've covered in this podcast can be found in the description below, wherever it is that you hear this, any podcast platform, on Rumble, and then obviously any of the social media accounts I listed earlier, Parler, MeWe, Gab, Facebook, Twitter. Once more, a reminder, please join us on our Locals community. It's free to subscribe as a read-only account, but if you can see your way to support what we're doing, the paywall there is only as little as $5 a month to become a supporting subscriber, and with that, then you can participate in every way as you could anywhere else in social media land, but you can do something else that you can't do anywhere else. You can actually post your own content. You can write your own articles. You can post links, memes, whatever you want to, right there in our Locals community. And I don't allow that on any of our other social media sites whatsoever. I keep that away because I need to keep the trolls away most of the time. But in our Locals community, because there is a paywall, it keeps the trolls away. And it also makes for a more behaved community. I think that anything you pay for, you show a little bit more respect toward. And Dave Rubin likes to describe, Dave being the founder of the Locals platform, he says that each individual content creator is the mayor of that community. So I am the benevolent mayor of the TPC Locals community. And once again, that's found at thepragmaticconstitutionalist.locals.com or from the App Store. You can find it at TPC for USA. All right. Thanks so much for joining me again today on this podcast. I look forward to getting with you again sometime very soon. Take care. Steve Baker, the Pragmatic Constitutionalist. I'm out.